Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey heroes, welcome back to the pre-roll. Just letting you know that this is the second and final part of our special mini-series with a negotiation between Remington Youngblood and the Broker. And we'll be resuming episodes with the main characters and main cast next week. Before we get to the show, though, because we don't have a mid-roll for these episodes, I have to take a quick moment here and tell you about our radvertisers for this week. The first up is Fat Magic, a D&D 5e campaign setting. Fat Magic is a fantasy adventure about food, community, and spaghetti wizards for the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons. This more than 250-page book spans 4 immersive food-saturated settings and is packed with culinary spells, fantastical food monsters, and foodie subclasses, like the Pact of the Celebrity Chef Warlock, the Way of the Fermented Grain Monk, and the Sorcerer Sorcerer. Best of all, it includes art by the official Courier's Call artist, Jess Kaczynski. If that piqued your interest, you should head to fatmagicrpg.com and back Fat Magic on Kickstarter right now. You can, of course, also find them by searching for Fat Magic on Kickstarter. A huge thank you to the Fat Magic team for sponsoring the show this week. Our next advertisement comes to us from The Pod Has Been Cast, a sci-fi D&D actual play podcast. Join Voidmaster Jules with Bianca, Carlos, and Robert as they tell the story of 3 Voidfarers and the adventures that await them in the endless sea of swirling darkness they call The Void. Inspired by sci-fi classics like Firefly, Farscape, Cowboy Bebop, and the Mass Effect series, The Pod Has Been Cast is perfect for any and all lovers of cosmic gunslingers, cyberpunk hackers, and robots! Actually, they do have quite possibly too many robots, but you can find them over at thephbcast.com or on Instagram and Reddit at thepodhasbeencast. And of course, you can find them wherever you get your podcasts. To remind listeners, this show is GM'd by friend of the show, Jules, who you heard in the Skyjacks Live episode playing a character who was literally made of cats. Jules has also done a bunch of episodes of One Shot and is always a delight to play with. I know their show is going to be good. So if you have the time, be sure to check them out. The last thing I want to say before we get to the show is that currently I have a new book out. It's a world building guide. If you appreciate the detail and attention that we pay to world building on this show and you'd like to bring some of that to your home campaigns, I think it is a perfect companion for you. You can pick it up wherever books are sold, and you can find a list of vendors over at bit.ly/ultimateworldbuilding. Now, if you'd like to see the book in action, be sure to join me on July 29th as I invite my friend, fantasy author Alexandra Rowland, onto the One Shot Twitch stream to go through exercises in my book and build a world in front of your eyes in real time. And of course, because we're doing this as a Twitch event, we're going to be interacting and collaborating with our chat. Once again, that is going to be Thursday, July 29th at 6 p.m. Central Time over at twitch.tv/oneshotrpg. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's take to the sky. This feather weave was fascinating, though. It was brought to the attention of my office as the Uhuru was looking to trade it with someone who could afford it. And those types of people can only really afford to do business here within the safety of this city and the black market itself. And of course, with such a valuable piece of trading cargo, we had to do our diligence and make sure that it was authentic. What we discovered, I believe, represents the most significant weakness that I have ever found in the Red Feather's domination of Sphere ever recorded. And it is that the feather weave they were trading was not authentic feather weave. in that it operated exactly the way you would expect Featherweave to operate. It could easily have kept ships aloft, and therefore I felt no trepidation trading it to partners, even if they didn't understand exactly how this Featherweave was different or why this Featherweave was different. But it was being held aboard the Civility, outside the prying eyes of all of Sphere. I believe, and this is conjecture, I believe that the Red Feather Syndicate has a competitor in manufacturing, a competitor that they cannot control. And so they seize materials and house them away, studying to see how it was made, or perhaps just keeping it away from the rest of the world. What they have, the ability to create the most valuable resource in the whole of Sphere, is no longer wholly theirs. Once again, this is the Broker speaking candidly.
Yeah.
And I am going to use the Broker's bonus die on this one to really drive this one home. Let me make sure before I offer that. Speak candidly. Does this place you in a vulnerable position? I would argue yes, because the Broker implied that he was willing to trade Featherweave that was not authentic Featherweave without telling a client, which is kind of a big deal.
Yes, no, very fair.
Is this information valuable to your opponent? I think potentially.
Yeah, a little bit.
And does your opponent like dealing with you in this moment?
it's warming up, but I don't think that can be the case until we've cleared the Tiberius Youngblood grievance.
I agree. I'm going to roll at plus two. I'm looking at the rewards for this, and they don't seem to be valuable enough for me to want the bonus die. I roll an 8. That does, that's more than an 8. That is a 9. Either way, it takes me to 11.
Okay.
That is a full success. I get to choose 2. I am going to gain 2 leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to take 2 leverage away from you.
3 leverage, even.
Yeah, 3. Yeah, even better.
Even better. Well, that is intriguing. I can see a few beyond the reasons you've already stated. Of course, they can't use the Featherweave, and I do relish the idea of having some fresh enemies to hunt. I do have to say the Tempest Armada's tactics can be quite samey, and Olivia is getting bored. But in the spirit of our newfound understanding, and since you share such things with me, allow me to share something with you. The Mariner. A problem. But a problem that the Red Feathers say they can deal with. In fact, their reputation relies on the fact that they can control the skies and control the land without the Mariner intervening. But something they're not letting anyone know is that really, and I obviously shouldn't be telling you this, but again, they aren't winning. Recently, the Red Feathers have been struggling against the Mariner. Things are not as they seem.
How can that be? The Mariner's fleets are bound to the sea. You should be able to attack at range without threat. Is it a lack of ships?
It's overextension. If we were correctly supplied, if the Red Feathers weren't trying to protect so many places, well, the Mariner would prove no problem. But there have been a number of skirmishes where our ships did not come out exactly as we'd like. Ghostfire cannons are still effective against isolated opponents. So I would be speaking candidly. I was using one of my personal, one of my general things that I've created. Is that acceptable?
That's make great. Sense?
Yep,
that's very cool.
All right. So, speaking candidly, does my secret place me in a vulnerable position? I think so. I mean, that's a betrayal of the Red Feather's confidence. Is the information mm-hmm. valuable to your opponent?
Questionable.
Yeah.
that's like perhaps as intelligence, but certainly the broker would have to work to trade yeah. that information. Probably the most that they would do is trade it to the information desk.
Yeah.
I'm going to, because it's lightly valuable, I'm going to say no, because definitely the broker likes dealing with you in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, I think that makes complete sense. That was more Remington kind of actually starting to make good on the concession of working against mm-hmm. the Red Feathers than, you know, you specifically would really like this. Okay. So that's, I am rolling at a plus two. I rolled an 8 up to a 10. So, right. So I am going to add a caveat to a concession.
All right.
And I think I'm going to give myself 2 leverage. Because this is putting me in a position of trust. And the caveat is, let's have a quick check. However, of course, you know, surrendering such information and anything like this puts the young bloods and myself personally at a significant risk of either losing face, which will make our understanding harder to execute, or could destroy the young bloods entirely, which again, a dead ally is no ally at all. So I would say, as maybe exciting as this new relationship might be, let's bide our time. Let's be a little more careful and a little more patient. We don't want emotion to get the better of us, do we? Of course, I will still be willing to work with you against the Red Feathers. But my risk assessment may have to be recalibrated to the long term rather than the short. Of course. And I am reducing the take a major risk in a covert action to take a minor risk in a covert action.
Gotcha. That's perfect. Then I think I'm going to roll to learn information.
Okay.
And I will risk some resources here, bring my resources down to 8. I am going to, let's see, is this information unprotected? What am I trying to get? Like, I think I want to learn a personal secret about Tiberius that just feels like wise business.
Okay.
Course here. I'm going to say that this information is protected. Are you willing to risk being discovered? Absolutely not. So I'm going to roll this at plus 2.
Okay.
So that is a 5. That brings it up to a 7. I'm going to go with information incomplete or imperfect. Give me an incomplete or imperfect secret for the Youngbloods.
Incomplete or imperfect secret. I think it is that you are aware that Remington has engaged in some sort of ritual magic in his past,
mm-hmm.
but you're not sure exactly what.
Okay. Yeah. Then I think I'm going to make an overture here.
Okay.
Of course, and your reputation and your personal safety are very important to me. As the head of your family, you represent an incredibly powerful influence on Sphere, and I can't imagine finding a way to run this city and keep it safe without an ally like you backing me up. Which means, of course, there is a concern about your reputation and how we're to protect it. I took the liberty of doing research, and I uncovered some things. I, in fact, uncovered some things about Tiberius, and other members of the extended family that I am sure you would also like to keep secret. I know at least a fraction of people who hold this information, and I could take steps to ensure that those people are not a concern. And that would be something as a ally to you, a partner to you, that I would be willing to commit my office to. Did you praise your opponent? Yep. Did you spend a resource? I don't think so. I want to keep those in case I have to make concessions with them. And did you remind them of the value of your alliance? I would say so.
Yeah.
That is a 5 plus 2. Oof. That brings it to 7. That was very close. Yeah. And the of course, the broker lied there. That was actually a deception.
Mm-hmm.
So the broker clearly did not know all of those things and presented that to Remington to gauge Remington's reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Was I rolling from a strong position on the regular move? Yes. Did you provide substantive evidence to support your claim?
No.
Not substantive,
no,
I would say.
You were just like, I know a secret.
Mm-hmm. Would this substantially support your agenda if it were true? Absolutely, because this the idea that there is compromat out there for the Youngblood family would significantly support me.
Yeah.
So I am still in the 7 to 9 range. So I choose one and you choose one.
Okay.
I would like to gain 4 leverage.
And I think I'd like to hold an advantage against you.
Smart. Okay.
Of course, any information that gets out would, of course, be problematic, especially when we're engaging in such a delicate operation as the one we find ourselves in now. In fact, I'd like to circle back round to that new arrangement. Of course, one of your major concerns here is that Tiberius, as you hasten to make clear, acting under his own steam and rashly, as Tiberius was often wont to do, that he placed Bujanith in jeopardy and, well, working together as we are now, well, I think you can find it in your heart to forgive the Youngbloods for Tiberius's actions, given the extraordinary lengths we're now going to make it up to you. And from this, I am trying to settle a matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I am trying to settle a 10-point, but I only have 8 points of leverage.
Ooh.
So I am settling at 1 to 3 points lower.
All right. So that comes to the matter cannot be completely settled. Is there a role involved in this? I don't think so.
No.
You're just settled lower.
Yeah.
So the matter cannot be completely settled with direct negotiations at this time. Outside parties believe both parties have acted in good faith and refused to take sides in a conflict. There are some arenas where you and your opponent are in open conflict and others where you behave as though they are a neutral party. Your opponent defines an arena where your conflict is open and to their advantage, and you define an arena where your conflict is clandestine and at a stalemate.
Hmm.
Where it is open and to my advantage.
Well, I think
I'm going to...
That's interesting. Although you were reading it, I think that's from my perspective as the person who's trying to settle a matter. So I think the you in this situation is me? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. You're right.
Because I think, where our conflict is open and to your advantage is the fact, I think, that publicly, you know, the Youngbloods are towing the Red Feather line and all the broker killed, you know, 10% of our troops at Bujanith. So I'm keeping up the facade of working in lockstep while, obviously, we understand that I'm not.
Okay, yeah, that's good. An arena where your conflict is clandestine and at a stalemate... Right now, I think leaving this meeting, there is the beginning of like the greatest espionage like operation in the history of Sphere, as the Youngbloods have learned that their like closest ally is really just a matter of time until it becomes a predator.
Yeah.
And temporarily, at least, they have bound themselves to the broker. I think Knowing Remington, I think Remington long-term does not want to have to work with the broker. Yeah. They would like to decide when the broker is an ally conveniently. Mm. So I think you are looking for ways to not be bound to agreements with the broker beyond business as usual, and the broker is very much trying to keep you in that sway.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, obeying contracts and then looking for as many loopholes and ways to disobey those contracts as possible.
Okay.
And that matter is absolutely settled.
Oh, I suppose, actually, no, I should give you the opportunity to make a move since I just settled a matter, shouldn't I?
Speaking of, I would absolutely love to talk to you about a further business agreement. In fact, a contract between the young bloods and the city of Bujaneeth. We certainly had a close call with the city's primary line of defense. The Liquid Swords Monastery proved more unreliable than I am comfortable with. Now, the Office of the Keeper of the Traitor's Skull is responsible primarily for holding and negotiating that contract, and I'll admit I'm dissatisfied overall with how we were exposed in that situation. I would love to know that should the need ever arise, either from threat of the Mariner or unforeseen forces, perhaps even Corsairs, I would love to have the security of knowing that Youngblood sails back our city. I would like to enter in, of course, a favorable and reasonable contract between the Youngbloods and my offices for personal defense of the city of Bujaneeth. So this is a ongoing contract. Actually, I'm going to roll to find this out.
Ooh.
before I do this. I'm going to try. There is some secret information that I know that perhaps, and I'll use my advantage on this because this is kind of a cool move. All right. So that is an 8. Do I want to spend resources on the secret? Yeah, this is retroactively, but I would have spent resources on this because I do want this to work out. Is this information unprotected? No, absolutely not. And are you willing to risk being discovered? I don't think the broker would have been. So this overall got a 9. And I am going to say, I'm going to say an agent was captured.
So I gain a leverage.
You will gain a leverage. There are whispers on the wind about Windrider Island. It's a fascinating place, obviously a hub of art and culture, but I've become aware that there are artifacts leaving that place that my offices would be very much interested in examining. And in fact, if there are any prisoners around related to the recent unpleasantness that Olivia, I believe, was managing before being pulled away, I would just love to have a chance to speak with them. So the broker is also going to be asking for offer a major secret.
Okay.
The broker is referring to some events that transpired on Windrider Island that are the subject of recordings in the secret archive regarding the Blimpjacks crossover. Olivia had become aware that a ship, unlike any ship on Sphere, had docked in the port that technically the Youngbloods control.
Mm-hmm.
That story isn't complete, but definitely the fallout of this is that the Youngblood family currently controls magic that is completely not understood. And it is like, the broker definitely doesn't know the nature of it. He just knows that the Youngbloods have it. And also, the Youngbloods potentially have captured prisoners from another world, and the broker has requested access to them to interrogate them.
Okay. So, all in all, this is a...
This is a four point.
Yes. Okay. So, I think I am going to reject this.
Ooh, yes.
And I'm going to use my advantage on this roll. actually. Yep. Kept going.
Smart.
So, but it's just a straight one. I don't think I can get any positives. Nope. So. Oh, I'm glad I had that advantage. I got an 8.
Wow.
It would have been a... Oh, actually, it would have been a 7. Well, I don't know. Anyway, It was an 8. So I can discard any element of their request and accept the altered terms, and the value of the concession is unchanged. So it was either offering that major secret or entering an ongoing contract, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah. Yep, that was it.
I mean, ultimately, that's Olivia's thing. Yeah, so I think I'm going to... Well, of course, in the spirit of information sharing, I'm sure I can find some arrangement with... whatever we extracted from Windrider Island. But, I mean, I'm already committed so much to our existing relationship that surely any arrangements you want are already captured by our existing things. And, of course, this sort of thing, although I understand your position, is best left uncommitted to paper, as it were.
The broker nods. I think, like, as the audience, we can see is like the part of the concession that you've allowed is definitely whatever Olivia has uncovered on Windrider. Yep. There is a bit of a sparkle in their eye that the audience can appreciate, and that is what Broker cared about the most.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Broker, since things have become much more cordial and hopefully mutually beneficial to the both of us, my mind keeps coming back to the one large blocker in our situation. And I realise that, I must assume an only child like yourself cannot fully appreciate the bond that one might have with one's siblings and the pain that one feels when they are lost. And the thing is, Tiberius wasn't the only young blood who was lost in Bushaneath.
The broker squints at that.
I am aware that you have... Well, of course I'm aware you've had dealings with the crew of the Uhuru. But did you know that one of theirs was another brother of mine?
I did not.
Dref, the admittedly quite strange little man, was actually Alistair Youngblood. And I am unfortunately grieving for two siblings, and that is what I'm bringing here, and that is, unfortunately, a matter that I personally feel very strongly needs to be settled, because, well, yes, of course. And then I'm going to make my speaking candidly roll. Does my secret place me in a vulnerable position? I mean, I'm on the fence about that one.
I think perhaps you don't know how much the broker knew about Dref. And certainly the broker can learn things, but like Dref's necromancy is a secret pretty well kept within the crew. But knowing that for a time a young blood sailed with the Uhuru, I think that could be a big bit of compromise for sure.
So you're gonna give me the point on that one?
Yeah. Okay. No, you get the point on that one.
All right. Is the information valuable to your opponent? You'd have to answer that one as well.
Perhaps in this negotiation. I'll give that to you because I don't know how much this favors anything that you might ask of me.
And, well, does my opponent like me when dealing in this moment?
I think so.
Okay. All right. So I'm rolling with a +3. And that's I rolled a 10 anyway. So that's a 13.
There you go.
And I think at that point, the conciliatory smile drops from Remington's face, and underneath it is a very, very stern expression. And of course, you understand the lengths that I would go to avenge one sibling. Well, the lengths of two. I would move sea and earth to avenge that. And this was a deception. It was a veiled threat.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Doubling down on my family's dead and this makes me sad. Would I be rolling from a strong position on the regular move?
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Did I provide substantive evidence? I revealed a secret. Well, I mean, it's only my word, but I guess... Is that substantive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Substantive, like, all you would have to do is... You captured Tiberius's journals. All you'd have to do is, like, put that down on the table. But, yeah.
Yes, in which case, yes, I pushed one of Tiberius's journals across the table. And would this substantially support your opponent's agenda if it were true?
You know, here's the ironic thing. I think yes, which is why the broker would meet this with confusion. But first, resolve the move.
Okay.
What are you gaining out of this?
Well, so I rolled the 10. I actually had a +3 on it anyway. But I think it's a I classic. I gain 4 leverage and my opponent loses 3.
Wow.
Because a 7 differential is too good to pass up.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm down to 2 leverage here. The broker furrows their brow for a second. I'm sorry. This is a lot to take in. You're telling me that Dref of the Uhuru was in reality Alistair Youngblood, your brother who died 2 years ago?
It's all in
and
there.
You're coming to me with a grievance that this is somehow my fault when your brother, Tiberius, is the one who struck down Dref.
In one of your hotels under your express protection.
The broker is going to state a grievance here. The audacity of that statement is so profound. Your brother bribed members of my staff to gain entrance into my hotel. Your brother continually bid against me at the reference desk to hold the secrets of the crew of the Uhuru, including the whereabouts of Dref, to the point where my coffers were significantly impacted. Not only that, but Tiberius slayed members of my staff and cost me my percentage of the deal that I was operating with the Uhuru in the first place, which I will point out was with your brother in the first place. And you've come to me and you've told me that the actions of your brother are somehow my fault? Sir, I have said repeatedly throughout our discussion here that I respect you and I respect your position and I even respect your emotional response to this situation, but this is far beyond the pale. I am not responsible for the actions of Tiberius Youngblood. If anything, you are responsible for the action of Tiberius Youngblood. I should be upset with you for having your brother take action that cost me money. And the way he says cost me money, it sounds like it's got the same intonation of you killed my brother.
Yeah.
Let's see. Are you capitalizing on a secret? I mean, yeah,
yes.
I'm capitalizing on the secret you just told me. Is it personal? Weirdly.
No, I mean,
treating it as personal.
Well, if somebody says you cost me money like a sibling has died, I think that's personal.
And are you willing to lose composure?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is rolling from a +3 here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, that is a 9 overall. I gain 2 leverage, but I have to choose 2. I will immediately demand a concession.
Let me assure you something, young bud. The methods by which I track debts are unlike that of any scene on Sphere. I can calculate debts and balances and risks with greater accuracy and with greater speed than anyone on Sphere. I am not a person that you would like to trifle with. Don't come into my office parading the malfeasance of your brother in front of me as though it's somehow my fault. I have given you information that should help you secure the power and safety of your family from here far into the future. And I have done this in good faith. I will look past this insult, but I'm afraid you are going to need to substantially stand for it. I have a reputation that was besmirched by the actions of your brother. Someone under my care who did business with me suffered while under my care and while doing business with me. Now, you are correct in assuming that the crew of the Uhuru desired revenge against Tiberius Youngblood for the death of the very same Dref, Alistair Youngblood. And as part of an agreement to make up for the fact that Dref died in my hotel on my territory, I allowed them to exact this revenge personally. Now, I also conceded quite a bit to them in order to make sure that my reputation stayed intact. I cannot have Olivia Youngblood going out and destroying this crew after working so hard to preserve them. They need to know, and more than that, the world needs to know that business done in Bujaneeth under the protection of the black market and oversight of the broker is sacred. Now, I will allow you some measure of revenge, but Olivia must not sink the Uhuru. Perhaps she could strike down the person who struck down Tiberius, Gable, I believe it was. There seems to be some poetic justice in that, but your revenge will stop short of destroying the ship, most certainly. I cannot tolerate that. After all, it seems your family is the root of that very problem. Secondly, I will require a ship.
And this is the broker way overextending his hand.
The broker definitely gets raised eyebrows at that last part.
Yeah. So the broker is going to... I've only got 4 points. Mm. Oh, I should. So I can't ask for a ship. So I am offering... I'm having you appear weaker on the world stage. If Olivia Youngblood goes after the Uhuru with the, you know, full force of the Youngblood Armada and does not capture that ship, that is not a good look. I also will require the services of one of your vessels, it really doesn't matter which one, to ferry a bit of cargo for me.
I think I'm going to accept it, but with a caveat. Of course. Yes, as you say, Tiberius is, of course, the perpetrator. But as you've admitted yourself, he managed to bribe some of your organisation, which should give you pause for thought. But you have admitted that you do bear some responsibility, despite it being a young blood who has done the deed. Fine. I would be happy to provide you the resources to ship some cargo. No questions asked, of course. But if Olivia gets a chance at the Uhuru, well, you know Olivia Youngblood, or at least you know her by reputation. There is no force on Sphere that will stop her from sinking that vessel. But what you really care about is not the lives of these little pirates. What you care about is your reputation. And let me tell you, there are plenty of reasons why we might want to hunt down and destroy a corsair ship. Especially a corsair ship that destroyed the civility. Which is a significant asset, not for us, but we just have to do our jobs. There's nothing personal about it. It's just good business. And so basically what I'm doing is changing it from an appear weaker on the world stage to risking your reputation.
I'm hearing that you would like to do more damage than I requested, but my point stands. My protection needs to stand in place. Perhaps in order to maintain Olivia's reputation, I could be willing to allow you to capture Orimar Vale as a prisoner.
I think we can agree to that.
Then the broker nods.
Okay, so I have another 4 concession. Right.
Seems about time you demand a concession of me. You've got quite a
bit. Oh, yes, I have some plans. And fortunately, in your little tirade, you did reveal something to me, which is that Tiberius Youngblood died with your express permission.
Absolutely.
Of course, you have a reputation to uphold. But in protecting your reputation, you removed from the Youngblood family one of its greatest assets. In fact, and Tiberius may have been hot-headed, but he was definitely effective and beloved. He is worth more to me, or was worth more to me, than a huge sum of money. And you count on balance sheets and with your accountant, but the ties of blood, they can't be counted on that kind of thing. You apparently don't understand the situation. So, having jeopardized my business to an incalculable amount of value, priceless, in fact, you will do the same for me, and we will call it quits there. Crack open your coffers and give my organization unmitigated access to the information of Bergenith. And sure. At that point, you will have paid the blood price. Do we have an understanding? And for this...
I don't think we do. Are you asking to know the internal ledgers of the black market? Or are you asking to use our methodologies for your business?
So actually, for an external clarification, it's the information desk, right?
That is not controlled. The reference desk is not controlled by the broker.
Oh, okay.
However, you could request that the broker spend a significant amount of resources at the reference desk on your behest for, you know, discovering whatever information you would need, wherever you would need it, according to whatever the reference desk holds.
Ah, yes. Okay. I think that still scans with the way I put it. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will spend whatever resources and whatever capital I demand of you in order to put this right at the reference desk. I want to plunder that desk. I want to know every little thing. I want it turned inside out.
Interesting.
So what I'm demanding here is I want the broker to offer irreplaceable resources. I want them to, fundamentally offering a secret/secrets that puts their organization at risk. And I think I'm also asking them to, well, I suppose this is part of the business of the information desk and they're studiously neutral. So it's probably not a betrayal because you're just using the reference.
Yeah, I'm just paying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in fact, I think it's probably those two things. So that's a 6-point. Yeah, that's a 6-point concession.
So the broker sits back in their chair and thinks, I only get an 8. I did roll a 1 there. Let me see. It's just a straight 2d6 roll. There's nothing I can add to that. A 7 to 9, I may discard any element of their request and accept the altered terms. So, I am willing to bring you information from the reference desk. Unfortunately, as my city has recently suffered circumstances that have prevented a large part of our clientele from freely and comfortably doing business within our borders, I do not have the resources to pay our way through. But if it is espionage, and especially information from the reference desk that you require, I would be willing to commit agents towards extracting that information on your behalf. Of course, adopting the risk on my own or on my organization's own.
You truly do value money. But yes, that is acceptable.
That is true.
So, yeah.
Well, then, I think we should consider the matter of Tiberius's death to be entirely settled between us. You have definitely stomped and put further enough fervor for me to understand that he was very important to you, though I will take issue with you suggesting that he is one of the most valuable assets from your family. I respect your family far too much to concede to that point. But I believe with what we've agreed to already, this should be more than enough.
What a horrible little backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Your family dog was more valuable than Tiberius Youngblood. I mean, that is a man that tried to get the Mariner to attack this city.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is within the equal range.
Mm-hmm.
The matter is officially settled. Outside observers view both parties as good faith actors and will look unfavorably on any escalating tension from either side. Your organizations consider one another to be neutral. Personally, you might carry out some resentment towards your opponent, and you might strike at them through clandestine means, but you can never act openly. You and your opponent choose to either trust or betray your agreement. If both of you trust your agreement, recover one resource for your mutually beneficial peace. If one of you betrays the other, well, the other trusts, the betrayer recovers three and describes a scheme to screw the other over that goes undetected. If you both betray, each lose two resources and describe ill-advised behind-the-scenes squabbling.
Oh no, the prisoner's dilemma.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we'll see what my feeling on game theory is. How do you want to resolve this?
I think we should write down our response and hold it up to the camera.
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
The broker chose to betray. I thought goading you at the end there by suggesting that Tiberius wasn't worth anything would definitely guarantee a betrayal. I do think this is a half-hearted betrayal. I think really the broker has just done what they consider to be business as usual, but probably Tiberius, should he discover it, would consider it a betrayal, in that the broker is infiltrating the Youngblood family,
yeah,
to spy on them very, very closely. So that's that. Great. So okay. We've both resolved the largest grievance. I am now kind of thinking, looking at this, and especially looking at the time that we have put into this negotiation, mm-hmm, that perhaps three grievances was too much. Should we take the 8 or the 5-point grievances off? I think either one is going to be good.
Well, quite frankly, I mean, I have enough leverage that I'm probably going to resolve one very soon. So
yeah.
I don't mind.
All right. All right.
I don't know. Because I could oversettle if I gained just a little bit more leverage and I could oversettle the 5.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be interesting.
I think that would be interesting. I would.
Okay, so let's remove the eights.
Remove the eights.
And that one's gone as well. Oh, no, that's the wrong button. There we go. Cool. All right, so that just means that I want to gain a little bit more leverage. So I think I'm going to speak candidly. Oh, no, I'll make an overture. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Very good. I'm very happy that we have come to such an accord. I was concerned that maybe a professional pride would overtake any ability to negotiate here, but as ever, I find myself impressed with your ability to act as a cool-headed and neutral party. I think, as good as our trading relationship has been in the past, and as bad as Tiberius's transgressions against your city have been, I think this might be the beginning of a new era, a very profitable era for the both of us with our newfound relationship, and although I can't commit to anything right this moment, I foresee a significant uptick in black market trade from our previous situation. And so, yeah, I'm making an overture. I'm kind of harking back to a previous relationship and, well, almost kind of one-upping it. So, did I praise my opponent?
Yes.
I did. Did I spend a resource? I was specifically non-committal,
yeah,
so I feel like I didn't.
I feel like you did not, yeah.
Yeah, and did I remind them of the value of our alliance? I mean, I said, I can give you a bunch of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, so. Oh, no! I rolled snake eyes.
Oh, ooh! Ooh.
So it's a four.
Oh, wow, there is
so I miss.
Nothing. On a miss, your opponent gains one leverage and an advantage die to state
Oof.
A grievance.
Well, wow. that did not go as I wanted at all.
Yeah, and I need to seize on this because you're right. You can absolutely oversettle and end this, and I will not have nearly enough leverage to even fall short a little bit of the last grievance. So I need to do this quite quickly. Well, I'm confused. We've all already agreed to business, and unless you can commit to something substantial, I fail to see how that was anything of substance. Here's the thing, Remington. May I address you by your first name?
Yes, of course.
I struggle to see where a social relationship stands, so I appreciate your candor there. Remington, my issue is that most of what you have brought to me feels as though it is of little substance, in that I am trying to reconcile with you because I care about business. The relationship that we will have together in an official capacity. And you have repeatedly appealed to emotion, which again is a thing that I understand other people place a great deal of stock in. But your emotions are ill-founded. Your brother was betraying you, as he was betraying my city and betraying human decency in the actions that he took. And I believe his ambitions drove the Red Feathers to take. This is a huge mess. And I have gone to not inconsiderable lengths to accommodate your emotional reaction to this mess. But it's all been in the name of Tiberius Youngblood, a man who, I will remind you, not only sought to expose this city to the mariners' predations, sought to rob this city of its valuable freedom that also impacts your business, but to do these things to kill your youngest brother. And more than that, sees himself an armada to challenge goodness knows whose power.
but I feel we would be remiss if we did not assume that on some level he sought to oppose yours. I do want to settle matters. I do. I am frustrated because it seems as though you are obsessed with the least important aspects of this negotiation. And moving forward, I would like the assurance that that is off the table.
So I have stated a grievance that, hey, come on, this is over Tiberius. What are we doing? Am I capitalizing on a secret? Yeah, several. Is it personal? I've suggested that it's personal. Are you willing to lose composure? I think he is definitely flirting with losing composure, if not there already.
Yeah.
I am going to not add my bonus die to this because I think I'm going to need that for when you try, for when you capitalize on all that leverage later on.
Oh, yes.
All right. I, on top of the plus three, I managed to roll a, looks like an 11. So I'm good. I gain plus three leverage on that, which brings me to four, which if the next thing you do is over-resolve your issue, I will at least be able to get close when I am forced to resolve mine.
You are correct. My relationship with my brother has cast a pall over these entire negotiations. But as I said, from a purely material standpoint, what you executed during the Red Feather's plans has caused issues, as we well know, with the Youngbloods trading in this city, which I'm not going to pretend is of only of value to you. As you stated before, we rely on the trade here. And again, your decision to kill so many of the Red Feather troops in such a horrific way has really set the Syndicate against you. And what I'm going to need, especially if we're going to continue with our arrangement, is I need your assurance that we will be able to continue trading in such a clandestine way as to not earn the Youngbloods the ire of the Red Feathers, and also keep this from the administration, civic administration, of your city. Because I do not want this information getting out, and I do not want this information being sold to the reference desk. And so I am going to be asking the broker to enter an ongoing contract. Mm-hmm. Would this be a major risk in a covert task?
I would consider this a minor risk.
Risk in a covert task. And offering favorable business.
Yeah. I think I will accept that concession. I really don't think I need to reject any part of it. That's so reasonable. In fact, I will be magnanimous about it.
Okay.
I understand your concern. I am also frustrated with the chilly relations that I currently have with the Red Feather Syndicate. In the interim, during this period of chilliness in our relationship, I would be more than happy to ensure that records of your ships or your agents landing at our ports and doing business in our market are kept in the strictest confidence, even if I need to commit Clearwater ships to carry cargo to the market on your behalf. I will make sure that no one knows you are operating in our city. I will also take steps to enter negotiations with the syndicate themselves. Again, I feel with what we dealt with was a bit of a whoopsie. A big mistake on everybody's part. I am sure that there are plenty of Red Feather officials who are not happy with the actions of Tiberius Youngblood, or, for that matter, Argus Westfield. And that means that all of this can be solved with discussion. I won't have the city appear weak. We are not going to roll over for the syndicate, but I will, after an acceptable period of hostility, will commit resources to making amends. So he's offered to, in addition to what he's already committing to in this, spend minor resources on easing tensions with the Red Feather Syndicate, which to the broker, spending resources, that's a big deal.
Lovely.
That's second base. So there's that, and that will get me 2 leverage,
cool,
which I will immediately use that to demand a concession. What's the last thing that I need? Should Olivia survive your endeavor, I am going to require her services leading a clandestine mission. I will also need the details of this mission to remain an absolute secret, even from yourself. It will be a deal between me and Olivia. Now, I cannot guarantee that Olivia won't volunteer that information to you, but if I discover that she has, obviously that will disrupt our arrangement considerably. I'll allow Olivia to continue to pursue the Uhuru and Orimar Vale, something that I would advise against, but clearly this is a family matter. If Olivia survives that encounter, which I cannot guarantee she will, I will require her services. There's that. So he's asking you to offer a major resource, or offer irreplaceable resources, even mm-hmm. if it's temporarily. Technically take a major covert risk. It's stretching the definition a little bit because he's asking for yes. this to be secret from you. But that
perfectly
would be spending 5 leverage, bringing him down to 1.
Okay. In which case, let's try and reject that and see what I can get
yeah.
on a flat roll. Yeah, no advantage, nothing. Let's just see what the dice say. Oh, incredible. That was a 3.
Oh. Oh boy, what does that do?
I accept the concession and you gain 2 leverage.
Okay. All right. Not that I can use them for much at this point, but yeah.
Remington sort of sits back in his chair and looks thoughtful for a moment and just says, well played, broker. Olivia is very much her own person, beyond threatening to take away her ships. There's not really much that I can do. However, I can almost guarantee that she will jump at the chance to do some sort of clandestine operation if it were only to annoy me personally. So, yes. Fine.
Wonderful.
Of course.
Wonderful. That I feel this is going very well.
Yes. Well, as do I. Now, your earlier problems about me offering things that are only ephemeral and insubstantive, I hope, has been roundly put to bed. Although I have to say, the fact that you consider my agreement to working against the Red Feather Syndicate as insubstantive is, well,
no,
if we weren't in
I will clear up. What I meant is the grievances that you bring against me being insubstantial, especially in the light of the truth.
Well, given, honestly, how incredibly generous and conciliatory I've been, giving you personal access to the resources of the Youngblood family and what one might call the greatest asset that we possess in Olivia, that we have done more than enough to address any existential problems my brother may have attempted and not executed on your city. The threat of a sword, once that sword has been put away, is nothing. No one got hit, except, in fact, the Red Feathers, by you, repeatedly, and me, by you, or at least your agents. So, at this point, I think these negotiations are over, and we cannot be more generous.
All right, so and you're resolving the final concessions that you have. How many concessions?
Yes. You just added, what was it, 4? So that's putting me, I think, up to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to, yeah, resolve your level 5 concession, but I am going to double it.
Well, no, so yeah. What you're doing is you're taking the concessions that you have that I have given to you.
Sorry, yeah. I'm settling a matter. I'm settling your grievance with my concession score, I suppose. But I'm doubling up that up by spending 10 concession points on a level 5 grievance.
Yeah. And the text for that is, you have so thoroughly settled the issue that your opponent will never feel justified in raising the issue again. Outside observers may feel you appeared weak, but they have to agree that you are more than fair. The broker in this is absolutely forced to admit that, you know, you have acted in good faith and are taking actual pains to resolve things, even having to recognize that you see matters as more severe than the broker did. So like the broker, I think it's at the point, because I did work to betray you on the other side of things, the broker again sees that as business as usual, but yeah, might in silent moments during the night go, should I be doing this? It's probably fine. I hope it's fine.
It says so in the broker's handbook.
Yeah. So the broker definitely feels weird, and that's probably why the betrayal ends up being half-hearted. I think is that like, ooh, more could have been done. The broker, like, if the spies find out about conflicts within the family, might have like tried to influence them one way or the other. But now it's like, no, we just know that information, and even maybe take steps to keep that off of the reference desk. You, having resolved your final grievance, put me in the position of I have to immediately resolve my final grievances because the negotiation is done. I thankfully, thanks to a couple of very lucky rolls towards the end there, did manage to put together a 5-point grievance that did not change in value.
Ah.
Whew. So lucky for that. I am able to equal your grievances here. Once again, we are put in the position of deciding to trust or betray the settlement, and write down on your paper what you are going to do. I will write what I am going to do. On 3, I suppose, we will show them the screen. 1, 2, and 3. All right.
Hey, it's a couple of trusts.
Yeah, we each walk away with an extra resource. Nobody is bankrupted by these negotiations, and all matters are settled.
Grand.
The broker nods at this. Yes, I believe our business is concluded. I don't shake hands, as it were, but the full opportunities that my city provides are at our disposal. Perhaps you would like to see a play or a ballet of some kind. I could avail you of some of the wonderful restaurants that we have here. It's the safest seafood in all of Sphere.
Yes, well, I'm always partial to a joust.
I'm sure something could be arranged. Like the broker will summon over a spooky butler. Go rally some folks. We'll put together an exhibition match. My treat, of course.
One final detail that I just have in the back of my mind is I like the idea that although the broker says, oh, well, I'm not the kind of person to shake hands, they have a specific spooky butler who does the handshaking for
yes!
them.
Yes! Oh, that's so good! That's perfect!
It turned out they've got like a beautiful sort of like white velvet glove or something that's specifically for shaking the hands of valued clientele.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And with that, I think the camera slowly moves out through that skull-shaped window that overlooks this city as the gray and cloudy sky breaks to show a cautious and golden thread of sunlight moving down through the clouds as day begins to transition into twilight. And there we have it, folks.
Lovely.
Wow. Oof.
This episode was edited by Allie Grauer. Before we end the show, I'd like to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. First up, a name correction, Andrew Lucchese, thank you so much. Meg E., thank you. Ethan Whiteley, thank you so much. Desmond Universe, thank you very much. Greg Carabas, thank you. Ben Colson, thank you so much. Jason Evans, thank you. Eli, thank you very much. John Berendt, thank you so much. Christopher Walker, thank you. Mel McMeans, thank you very much. Casper Miller, thank you so much. Anne Hintz, thank you very much. Kelsey, thank you. Jonathan Love, thank you very much. Mary, thank you so much. Twy, thank you very much. And Anna Goldberg, thank you. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We wouldn't be able to make this show without you. If you want to join this list of names, please head over to patreon.com and sign up to support us as a backer. Now, you don't just get thank yous, you get other cool rewards in addition to that. If you sign up at the $5 level or more, you'll get access to the One-Shot Secret Archive, where we have plenty of Skyjack's bonus content. If you liked this series and you want to know more about Remington Youngblood and the Youngblood family in general, you'll be happy to know we have an hour-long character and world-building session with Ben Meredith where we allowed the luminaries to decide Remington Youngblood's past. And believe me, it surprised me very much and changed a lot of plans that I had, but in a very good way. That's up on the Secret Archive right now. Be sure to head over there, join us as a backer so that you can listen in. Thanks to everyone who supports us already and everyone who's going to support us in the future. And now, the credits.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis,
who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave.
Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson__,
or on her podcast, Paired.
Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs, or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG, or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArnePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPony, or on his own podcast, NeoScum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios.
The game used in this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system that was created by a talented group of game designers who were fired by a private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games.
There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
Strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the sky.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.